In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. My voice is a little hoarse, but I'll do the best I can. I'm looking at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and I'm looking at the 25th verse. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit that was in the young man, saying to him, "You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter him no more." Jesus has command over evil. Jesus has command over the devil. Jesus is the Lord. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's what he said, and that's what's true. Jesus is a threat to the spirit of darkness because Jesus is the light. Jesus is a threat to Satan because Satan is his enemy. I want you to know that the devil is not the opposite of Jesus. The devil is the opposite of Michael the archangel. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus cast out the demon. Jesus set this young man free. Jesus gave this man back to his father. Jesus is the Lord. And again, the opposite of the devil is Michael the archangel. It is not Jesus. Jesus is with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus has all power in heaven and on earth. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is He's everything. He's everything. He's everything. He's the Master. He's the Lord. And the spirit cried and rent the child sore and came out of him. And he was looking like a dead man, insofar that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind comes out by prayer and fasting." I remember many years ago, I was preaching in New York on a Saturday, and I came home Saturday night, and Father Martin said that there was a woman that was going to come and visit us on Sunday, and that someone had poisoned her food, not with physical poison, but with evil poison. Well, you know, I don't believe everything I hear from people, so they did come. I remember them coming. They were dressed in their native costumes. They were beautiful, two beautiful people. So my first question was, you know, have you gone to the doctors? Yes. Have you taken medicine? Yes. The medicine doesn't work. My food was cursed. Well, anyway, we started to pray for this woman. It takes prayer and fasting, you know. I hadn't fasted, but I had been prayed up. But I'm going to tell you, everything that was in her came out of her that day. And you know why? It has nothing to do with me. They came to Holy Rosary, fasting and praying that God would do something. They were doing the fasting and they were doing the praying. And I'm going to tell you, it was easy that day. It isn't usually easy to cast out these little fools. But I tell you, that day it was easy. You know why? Because they came praying and fasting. And the devil came out of her, or the evil spirit came out of her. I'll never forget that. I just learned something, that what Jesus says is absolute truth. This type means that you need to pray as well as to fast. And listen to the next line. And they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not let any man know it. Because he doesn't want to be followed. Jesus doesn't want to be followed right now. He's tired. He just want to be with his friends. And For he taught his disciples now that the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise from the third day. But they understood not what Jesus was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Jesus told them, he didn't want anybody else to hear it, that the Son of Man had to go to the cross, that the Son of Man would be rejected. He's telling the disciples, the Son of Man has to go to the Gentiles and be rejected, and he has to die, and on the third day rise from the dead. This is the second time in Mark that Jesus tells the people that he has to die and that he has to rise from the dead. But the disciples don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. It's too big to understand. They're living in denial, and it's not the river. They're thinking, we just saw the demons cast out. We just saw the blind man healed. We just saw the deaf man healed. Why should he have to die? So they didn't ask him any questions. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't want to understand. Have you ever heard something and you didn't want to understand it? Have you ever gone through something that somebody said and you weren't ready to take hold of it? You didn't want to understand it. You just denied it. Well, I have. I know what that is. I know what that is. That Jesus is telling them that this ministry is going to come to an end because I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. And they don't know what's going to happen afterwards. They have no idea about the Holy Spirit coming upon them. They have no idea. So they put up a wall of defense. We don't know what you're talking about. And they wouldn't even ask them. They were scared to ask them because they said, you know, let's take this show on the road. We're doing so well with people. People are coming to us. People are coming to us. We're seeing multiplication of food. We're seeing blind men see. We're seeing a dead man come up and bring brought back to his mama. My Lord. Well, they didn't want to ask Jesus what it was all about. But listen to the next statement. This is why Jesus really had to die, not only for our sins and for our sicknesses, but this is why Jesus had to die. This next part, beginning with the 33rd verse. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what were you disputing among yourselves on the way? So Jesus knew there was a dispute between the disciples. Like, what were you arguing about? I want to know what you argued. He knew. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had been arguing about who should be the greatest. Do you see why Jesus has to die? These men have been with him for how many years? 3 years. And still they have no idea of who he is and no idea of what he stands for. Jesus the Lord comes as a servant. Jesus the Lord comes as a slave. Jesus the Lord comes to heal the sick. But they're fighting. I'm ahead of you. Peter says, no, I'm first. I'm the first apostle. John said, no, it's not you because he loves me more. They're fighting. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus had to die because he had to take these apostles as well as me and you into his heart and drain all that self-love that is not of God. I am the first. You are the first. No, they should be saying, Jesus, you are the first. You're the teacher, but you act like the servant. You're always acting like the servant. They didn't pick it up. They didn't pick it up. It was the flesh. Oh, yes, the flesh has to be crucified. Has to be crucified. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had been arguing among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man's desire to be first, that same person must be last of all and servant of all. And they're listening, you know, with their mouths open. They don't want to learn this right now. That's why Jesus had to die. That's why Jesus had to die, because every one of them died as a martyr, but John. And not one of them was saying, we're the greatest. I'm greater than him. No more, because Jesus took them to his sacred heart, and Jesus purified them, and they were ready to die, and they were ready to die as servants, and they were ready to die as slaves. And then he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken the child in his arms, he said unto them, whoever shall receive one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Why did he take a child? I'm going to tell you why. Because the child was considered property and had no status in the time of Jesus. You know? So Jesus is saying, whoever takes a child like this and brings him up and loves him and just gives everything to him, you know, it's you'll be drawn to me, but not to me, but to the Father. The Father sent me. You have to become like little children, have no status. You have to become like little children, have no status. You have to be servants. You have to be slaves. You're no status at all. Why? Because that's the way I've come. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Taking the form of a slave. The slave dies on the cross. Jesus had to die on the cross. Why? Because our hearts are impure. Because we have divided hearts. Because some of us are for God and part of us is not for God. We say, oh, I have this ministry and I'm the best. I'm the leader of the gang. Yeah, listen, Jesus says, if you want to be first, you must be last. And if you want to be ahead, you must be behind. I have come to be servant and not to be master. And we see that in the 13th chapter of St. John, when Jesus takes off his garments and puts on the towel of a slave and begins to wash the feet of the apostles. He begins to, and Peter says, not me, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, and he means in the blood, if I don't wash you in the precious blood, you have no part of me. This washing of the feet was symbolic of Jesus being the slave, going to the cross, shedding his blood, acting as a servant. He says, as I have done, so you must do also. I who am your master and teacher have washed the feet of the disciples, then you must do this also. And never mind worrying about who's first or who's second or who's last or who's whatever. You are to be servants of all. Servants of all. I tell you, people say, you know, what is your job, Father Tom? My job is that I am a spiritual plumber. Oh, yeah, a spiritual plumber. People come to me with their pain. People come to me with their darkness, and I bring them to Jesus. We wash the insides out with the blood of the Lamb. A spiritual plumber. Not much status in a spiritual plumber. You know, people come to me and say, you prayed with me and I was healed. And I say, honey, has nothing to do with me. I only prayed, but the Lord stepped in and the Lord is the one who healed you. I can't heal myself. I've been trying to heal myself for a long time and nothing ever happens. Only Jesus can heal you. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. And so Jesus talks about being a child. And John answered him saying, Master, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name, and he doesn't follow with us. And we forbade him because he doesn't follow with us. In other words, they saw somebody casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they're not part of the group. They're not part of the disciples. Listen to what Jesus said. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because he belongs to the Messiah, I say unto you, amen, he shall not lose his reward. You see, again, the disciples are saying, you know, this guy isn't part of our crowd. He isn't one of the 12. He's casting out demons. Tell him to stop. Jesus said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. You know, I don't care who's preaching Christ, St. Paul said. I don't care who's preaching Christ, whether they're preaching out of good motives or bad motives, whether they're preaching out of wanting to get rich or wanting to be poor. It makes no difference why people are preaching Christ as long as Christ is preached, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It makes no difference as long as Christ is being preached. Now, I'm telling you, I don't preach because I'm looking for gold or silver or whatever. I don't preach for money. You can't pay me for what I do. You can't pay a real priest, a real pastor, for what he does or what she does. If they're really pouring out their lives for the people, you cannot pay them enough. Because it's not about money. It's about what they're doing. It's about bringing people to Christ. It's about setting people free. That's what it's about. It's about setting people free. So if you know what a disciple is, you know, I say, find a disciple and offer them a drink of water. Because if you give it to them in Jesus' name, there's a great reward that comes to you. You know some disciple, you know, that nobody likes, you treat them with kindness. You treat them with kindness, because if you treat them with kindness, you're treating Jesus with kindness. You know, I remember reading Agnes Sanford. She was the woman who really brought the healing ministry into the Catholic Church through Father Francis McNutt. And she would say, you know, because we are lay people and we pray with the sick, We need to live. We need to live. And many lay people that have been given gifts, the gifts wither because nothing is given to them. And they can't do both. They can't be full-time praying and full-time working. Well, anyway, the point of the matter is, if you find a disciple, give him a glass of water in the name of Jesus. I remember when I was in the seminary, I remember, you know, at every table that I sat at, I would pour the water. I would pour the water in the name of Jesus. I would pour the water to the people who liked me, and I would pour the water to the people who didn't like me. I would pour the water. I said, oh, let me pour. And when the soup came, let me, oh, I want to serve. Let me give you the soup. I'll put it in the bowl. Please, let me do it. I want to do it. Because I knew this scripture, that if you give a disciple a glass of water, there's a blessing comes with it. There's a blessing that comes with it. And you know what? I don't know what the blessing was, but Jesus promises a blessing, and I believe the blessing comes. So that's how I learned how to give people water, how I learned how to give people soup, how I learned how to pass the bread and do things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, not just do them, but do them in the name of Jesus. For whosoever shall offend one of these little children that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom maimed than with two hands to go into hell, into the fires that never are quenched. Okay, Jesus is saying, you know, that we're not to give scandal. We're not to give scandal to the little children. I want to just tell you something, that just because a person is accused of a crime in the paper doesn't mean that the person did it. And it doesn't mean that the person didn't do it. You know, we are too fast to judge people. You know, we have no right to judge people. We have to let it work out. Just because the paper says that so-and-so did this in 19 whatever, that means that he did it. Doesn't mean that he did it at all. Doesn't mean that he didn't do it at all. Let's pray for the person. And if there is a victim, to pray for the victim, because that's what we need to do. We need to shut our mouths and stop talking about people. We need to pray and pray for the person. And if there is a victim, to pray for the victim, to pray that God would let the truth come out, and the truth would come out quickly. This is very important. This is very, very important right now. I'm going now to Luke 10. I'm moving to Luke 10. And it came to pass, as they went, and Jesus is always wenting, always going, always moving. He's not like Buddha, sitting down, doing nothing. Jesus is always moving. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered a certain village, it's called Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Martha, my Lord, poor Martha. But you know what? She's not very poor. She's a wonderful woman. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his very word. This is amazing, because in the time of Jesus, you couldn't be a disciple and be a woman. But yet, when you're at the feet of the Master, you're a disciple. So Jesus is saying, you know, to women's liberation, I liberate women. Not now, not N-O-W. I am the liberator of women. I am the liberator of men. I am the liberator of priests. I am the liberator. No one else is the liberator but me. I liberate. Mary sat at my feet. She was disciple. And Mary Magdalene was the witness to the apostles that Jesus rose from the dead. And in the time of Jesus, a woman could not witness in the courts because they were considered property. Again, Jesus takes what the world considers property and raises it up with the dignity of God, the dignity of God. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was upset about serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, come and help me. In other words, get off your backside and come and help me. But Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. So it seems like Jesus is putting her down, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus isn't putting her down at all, because after Lazarus is dead and he's in the tomb 4 days, Martha says, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the same confession of Peter. So Martha is no slouch, okay? She just has a different personality than Mary. Mary chose the better part, but Martha knows who Jesus is even before he reveals himself in the resurrection. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. It was the same profession of faith that Peter had with Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about Mary. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and each one of us needs to sit at the feet of Jesus. Each one of us needs to sit at the feet of Jesus. Even if our minds are very, very active and we're like flies, we can't even meditate, but we can at least sit at the feet of Jesus. We have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament tonight, Monday, after Mass. Mass is 7:30. And then we have Adoration. You are invited to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, to sit at the feet of Jesus and be with us, just to be with the people who sit at the feet of Jesus. We have been given that great sacrament, the sacrament of his love, to be able to sit at his feet, to be able to receive him in our hearts, to be able to receive him in our bodies, and to be able to sit with him and just to look at him, and he looks at us. And that's what I'll end with. There was a man in a parish that used to spend so many hours in front of Jesus, and the young priest would see him every day. He was an old man, and the young priest would think, what is this guy doing? Like, what is he doing all these hours that he spends here? Is he just trying to keep warm out of the cold? What's he doing? So one day the priest has the courage to say, sir, why do you spend so much time here? And what are you doing here? And the guy looked at the priest and said, I look at him and he looks at me. I look at him and he looks at me. And that's enough. It's enough that I look at him and he looks at me. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. We heard of a terrible, terrible thing that happened to a priest in Boston. We do not know if the priest is guilty or innocent, but we need to pray for this priest. But not only for the priest, but if there is a victim, we need to pray for the victim. But let us not jump to conclusions that he is guilty, because in the law courts or in the courts of law, we are innocent until proven guilty. So I want to pray for this priest, and if there is a victim, I want to pray for the victim. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You should be getting, if you're on our mailing list, a letter in the mail. It's our fall letter, and it was written, I think, on September 15th, the day I was ordained. I have been ordained, I don't know how many years now, 33 years, I think. And please answer the letter so that we can continue on your station. The mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Many of you will be getting a letter, and just do the best you can. People say, how much do you want me to give? Listen, Mary said, do whatever he tells you to. You seek the Lord if he wants to help us. Look, if you listen every day, you know, we need people who listen to help us so that we can pay our bills. And what did Mary say? Do whatever he tells you to do. Do whatever my son tells you to do. That's enough. If we lived by those words of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we would never be in trouble. Just do what my son tells you to do. And how do we know what he tells us to do? We open the scriptures. We read the Bible. We find out what the Lord says. We believe his promises. That's what we do. Do whatever he tells you to do. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.